WFSU-FM now presents a visit to the Village Square. This program, featuring Tallahassee and Leon County elected officials in a town hall public forum, was recorded February 19, 2015, at St. John's Episcopal Church in Tallahassee.
I am Foyt Ralston with Leadership Tallahassee, and on behalf of Leadership Tallahassee and the project partners, the Tallahassee Democrat and the Village Square, we'd like to welcome you to our town, Tallahassee Town Hall. I'd also like to welcome those of you watching via the Tallahassee Democrats live stream of the program tonight and the WFSU radio audience listening to the pre-recorded program. You can tweet your questions to us by using the hashtag TDVSQ. Again, hashtag TDVSQ. Now, please join me in thanking tonight's program sponsors, the Gunster Law Firm in Leon County. It is now my pleasure to introduce our distinguished panel for the evening. From your left to your right, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum. And then we have County Commissioner Mary Ann Lindley. They've got it in reverse, I think. I'm sorry. I just realized I'm looking over and I'm like, no one's where they're supposed to be. Return. For the radio audience, that's not going to matter. So I'm going to say we have Commissioner Nick Maddox all the way down to the left. And then we've already introduced Commissioner Lindley, but we have Commissioner Christian Dozier as well. And Commissioner Curtis Richardson. And lastly, our mayor, Andrew Gillum. I'm delighted now to introduce our moderator for the evening. He's the new publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat, Skip Foster.
Okay, good evening. How are we doing? Thank you for being here today, and thank you to you folks, you public officials, for putting yourself out there and participating in this great forum. This is exciting for me. I've been here, this is I think my fifth or sixth week. There's never been a greater excuse for asking stupid questions than not being here for very long, so this is a no-risk zone for me. The only thing my wife said is if you cause them to ring the civility bell, then that's pretty much it. So I'll certainly be going through drive-through for supper instead of getting something nice. So we're glad y'all are here. This is how we're going to do this. We've got all sorts of timers and bells and whistles and lights, and if we need to use those, we will. But what I want to have is just a free-flowing discussion. Hopefully I get all the views represented equally here. We're going to do a topic. I'm going to ask them a few things, and then we're going to go to the audience on that topic. So if you can kind of keep it to that topic, I think we're going to cover a lot of them. And then if we hadn't gotten to yours, then we'll kind of take a little break and maybe have a little open question time. Does that work for everybody? Sound good? I'm seeing nodding heads. Great. Let's start off with the Consolidated Dispatch Agency. Okay? Yeah, let's dive right in. What do you think? Mr. Mayor, what is being done to fix that? And are you happy with the speed of progress on that front?
Welcome, Skip.
Thank you.
Thank you for the softball at the very beginning, man. It's much appreciated. And good evening to everybody in the audience, and it's good to be here with my colleagues from the city and the county. Your paper has done a more than adequate job, I think, of covering the range of issues that the Consolidated Dispatch Agency is dealing with. I don't think any of us can say that we are satisfied per se when you have public safety and the lives of not only our citizens, but our first responders on the line. It goes without saying that the merger of the agencies and, frankly, the technology associated with it was not seamless. In fact, it had far too many hiccups, and the leadership at both the city, the county, the sheriff's department, as well as PD, have really raised these concerns with the consultant who was in charge of upgrading the system and bringing that technology online. But we we're not all the way there yet. I think we have turned a corner. We have had now several weeks incident-free from the standpoint of no real gaps in services, no real delays in receipt of calls and then dispatch of information. But there were some real concerns, and I think we're still trying to work our way through them. In fact, because of the nature of this issue, and I think some open investigations and concerns that are still being raised, I think we all have to be a little bit careful in our response this evening as the elected officials who are ultimately responsible for what happens there. But all of us are committed to trying to see this resolved. We're absolutely not satisfied with the mistakes that have been made up to this point. But the staff is committed. The elected leadership is committed, and we've got to work as hard as we can to try to get the problems fixed as quickly as we can.
So when you're talking about the ongoing issues, there's the audit that's being conducted. It's not a financial audit, but basically an investigation. Commissioner, do you think that should be public? Do you think the results of that, when it's done, should be made public? Do you think they will be made public?
Yeah. Thank you, Skip. First of all, let me say that the Joint Dispatch Center or Consolidated Dispatch Agency was a long time coming. It was something that we desperately needed because for a long time, our emergency responders didn't communicate. The sheriff's department was on a different frequency than the police department. They were on a different frequency than the first responders. And so it was a necessity. Was it launched the way we would have hoped that it should have been? Certainly not. And many of the issues that arose out of how it was launched are being addressed. The question is timely because I just had a briefing by the city auditor. They've completed their audit. It's a 170-page report, which will be first presented to the CDA and then will be made public. But I was convinced from the briefing that I received that all of the issues that arose during the initial launch, if they haven't been addressed, they are in the process of being addressed. Particularly some of the technology issues and the policy and procedure issues will be addressed. And I think that the community will be able to feel comfortable that agency is fulfilling its proper mission.
So, Commissioner Dozier, obviously we won't know fully until the audit results are released, but what have you learned through this process of maybe what needs to be done better next time and how we need to move forward on this topic?
Well, I do appreciate it, and thanks for everyone for braving the cold tonight. I think this is a unique area for us. Public safety is a zero-error game, right? So even one call out of 100,000 that is mishandled can lead to a situation that none of us want to find ourselves, our family members, our friends, or neighbors in. So this is a situation that... I believe the dispatch is doing an incredibly good job merging into the new technology, merging two different departments together. We've accomplished an incredible amount. But it is on us and on the CDA board, which is city manager, county administrator, and the sheriff, to be diligent every day to be finding this. I have a lot of confidence in Tim Lee, who is relatively new to our community and has taken on systems and practices that were there for a long time and is trying to merge them into new technology, a new facility, new training for his folks. And I think you can understand that in any business, if you went through that transition, you might have a few technological errors or things like that. That's pretty typical. In this area, in dispatch, we've got to get every single one of them right. And I think that's the challenge, and we're all very concerned with that. The only other thing I would say is that I think we've got to keep a long-term perspective here. I am extremely concerned anytime there is a single issue that comes up, and some of the big cases this year have really exposed some key issues. But merging our dispatch, traffic, emergency services, the fire chief, the EMS chief, all into the same building is a game changer. And that's a part that I think we've kind of lost a little bit of discussion about this year because we are focused on dispatch, which is so crucial. I have confidence we're going to address these problems, but the overall picture of why we did the Consolidated Dispatch Center, I don't think we should lose focus on that because it's going to help us the next time we have a tropical storm, better coordination between fire, EMS, law enforcement, across the board. It's going to make it easier in the future.
So, Commissioner Lindley, some might say, wow, this is why all of this consolidation, it sounds great in theory, but you try to get it together and it ends up being a bigger bureaucracy and less efficient and leads to problems. So, I mean, is that what's your take on all that?
Well, I never thought consolidation sounded easy or perfect, and we know it probably will cost more in the long run. Can I give you an answer to a different question that you didn't ask?
Well, why don't you tell me what the question is?
Okay.
And we'll negotiate that out. How's that sound?
Well, no, I'll tell you the answer. This is sort of on Jeopardy.
Okay.
I think one of the things that I agree, as we've said, the consolidation has been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. And when people say they need more consolidation or they think it makes sense, this is an example of how it isn't. It isn't as easy as some assume. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things we're kind of missing here is that ultimately this is such a human process. And we've gotten I think, pretty wonderful technology potentially. But we've also learned a lot about those folks who work out there and the enormous tedium and patience and trauma and everything that's involved in that. And I think one of the things that Tim Lee has said is the training and the acknowledgement of this human factor and how important training is to go along with the technology. Yeah. And I don't think those two have been in sync yet. And so I think that's one of the things that was just called forth loud and clear, and everyone felt guilty, responsible, and awful about it. But I think that's when the training is going to be critical right now.
Okay.
So is that okay?
One of the things that the organizers have asked me to do, which we will not start on this question doing, is not feel like everybody has to respond to every question. But Commissioner Maddox, I'm going to let you see if you have anything to say. Or do we have any on this particular topic? Do we have some community questions? Maybe the first one could go to Commissioner Maddox. Looking around, I'm not seeing my question askers. Okay. So anything you want to weigh in on before we move to the next topic?
Well, I think the commissioners and the mayor covered it all, but I think you hit on a key point, Commissioner Chairwoman Lindley did as well, in that consolidation has its challenges whenever you're trying to consolidate anything. I don't think when we cut the ribbon to open the Joint Dispatch Center that we knew the kind of problems that were going to be ahead of us. But we didn't know that there would be problems. And so it's a large undertaking to try to do what we're doing with the consolidated dispatch. But in the long run, it leads to great advantages. And so I think Tim is doing a great job out there. I think Commissioner Lindley brings up a good point in that, it's a hard job that those joint dispatch people do. And it takes people with qualifications to do those things. And one of the things Tim Lee talked to me about initially was building up that workforce with the people who have the skills in order to do that job at a level that it needs to be done. Because lives can be lost, as we saw thus far. And so to reiterate what everybody else said, I think it's a great idea. I think we moved in the right direction on it. I think it asks us to be patient with the process and it getting to a point where we are without any kind of hitches or any kind of problems with it.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And I'm going to, so you don't get at the end of the line, I'm going to start with you on this next topic. We're going to move on to economic development. And, there's a lot of talk. I hadn't been here but 5 or 6 weeks. Economic development comes up in about every conversation I have. And a lot of talk about jobs, a lot of talk about the balance when it comes to growth and, development. So my question is, I'm going to toss three questions out. You get to pick the first one. What should be the limits on growth and economic development? What should be valid reasons to not recruit a business or to accept new industry? And what has to happen in this county, in this region, for us to get economic development wins that I think a lot of people say we're not getting enough of right now?
I'll take the wins. I think we're moving in the right direction with the wins. I think one key thing we did was we passed the infrastructure sales tax 3-year efforts. We're going to the ballot box and voting in favor of it. I think it moves us in the right direction. I think building the infrastructure that attracts big businesses to our town. But last but not least, I think what we must do is accept who we are. A lot of people, when I came here, said, when I went to run for office initially, they said they were tired of us being a college town and a government town. Well, fact of the matter is, the capital of the state of Florida is in Leon County. in the city of Tallahassee. That's who we are. We have great universities and community colleges here. That's who we are. We should accept that and use that as the base of what we have to offer when those private businesses come, because the intellectual capital in the city of Tallahassee and Leon County is greater than any other place in the state of Florida. And I'm not ashamed of that. I don't think any of the rest of you should be ashamed of that. We may not be as established as far as private business is concerned, but we have all the things in place for private businesses to be attracted to this place we call home. And so I think we're moving in the right direction with the infrastructure improvements we're making, the infrastructure sales tax being passed, the economic development measures that we're putting together, the thought processes of the elected leaders that you put in place, and the actual want to diversify our economy without sacrificing the base that we have in place. All these things work together for the good, and I just think that we're moving in the right direction when it comes to economic development.
What are the limits? When should we say no? When is it not a good deal?
Well, I think honestly, for me, it's about how many jobs are created and what kind of jobs will be created or brought to the community. I really err on the side of nurturing our businesses that are here now and trying to help them grow. You know, if I were going to give a balance, I would do 75% of the effort to that and 25% to trying to go far afield, because every community of our size is trying to get the same hotshot, you know, companies to come to town. So to me, it's can you create jobs, and can you create jobs that are, valuable, will help a person really establish a career and make a good living instead of just have to hold a couple of jobs. And anything that's, I think the creative and better use of our relationship with the universities is going to be really, it's a natural for us. So that's the kind of thing I would look to.
Mr. Joshua, where is our balance right now? Are we just where we need to be? Do we need to be tilting toward more aggressive recruitment? Do we need to be, you know, careful of too much growth? Where do you think we fall right now?
I think we are in a great place, and I think the last 5 years really proved this. We know better what sustainable development looks like. We know that a walkable market-type environment, like what we've got on Gain Street now, Midtown or someplace else, local businesses do better. The expansion of local businesses, even coming out of the recession, small business growth has been incredible. We all feel that, I believe. I don't want to speak for you, but I believe that. But I do think that those efforts will create an environment that will attract and retain talent. We hear that phrase a lot, but what we're seeing across the country right now is that people are choosing the place they want to be, the place they want to raise their family, not specific to what jobs are there. So we've got to have a good environment, entertainment, different things like that. The other side, though, and I think Commissioner Lindley was leading right into this, I joined the Innovation Park Board, Research and Development Authority, 5 years ago, and I hope most of you saw that we actually got some good news this week. Thank you very much. What we have done in the last 5 years to actually identify our strengths within the universities, to say we've got research in this array of different areas, from materials to energy to everything happening at the Mag Lab, we need to be more targeted. We got a big win about 10 years ago or so with Dan Foss Torbro Corps. People still mention that as a win. That's a little terrible because we haven't had a big win since then. And you talk to Turbo Corps, they can't attract good employees because there are no other manufacturers that are similar to them in the region. So someone moving a family here feels like, well, if I lose my job at Turbo Corps, if they move, you know, back to Europe or something, where else do I go? We have to be more targeted. In the past, we did not interact with the universities and really think about the assets that are unique to this community. And we didn't have good communication. Then on the recruitment side, it was kind of everything in the kitchen sink. As was said, the same stuff everyone else is going for. In the past 5 years, we are getting more and more targeted, where we understand our assets and we can target those businesses that will really help us grow in a sustainable way. I am excited. We've done a lot. There's a lot more to do.
So, big win 10 years ago. Seems like a long time, right? How does this work with the city and the county and the chamber and the EDC? What role should, you know, you be taking on to, you know, make those wins be a little more frequent, assuming you want more of them? I assume you do, right? Yeah, so what do we do to, what specifically should the city be doing to make those come a little more frequently?
Well, I think that we're, as has been mentioned, we're much farther along than we have been. Local governments are talking to each other, are working together. We're in partnership with the Chamber and the Economic Development Council, the Chambers, because we've got several in the area. We're talking regional economic development and including our partners in the outlying areas that contribute to our economy. So I think we're headed in the right direction. As Commissioner Maddox talked about, you know, for the past 15 years with the passage of the penny sales tax increase, we've addressed many of our infrastructure issues, which is the basis of economic development. With the extension of it, we'll address those items that have not been addressed over the past 15 years. And 12% of the revenue that will be generated from that over the next 20 years will be devoted to economic development, to business recruitment, retention, business incubators. And what was interesting is at our city commission retreat, we had a guest here from Charleston, South Carolina. And one of the things he said was, we have all of the elements in place to be a successful city in terms of economic development. As a matter of fact, he said we were much farther along than Charleston was when they started along their quest at economic development. So I think we are getting there. We certainly have to diversify our economic base, grow our private sector base, and create those jobs that will allow families, both the high-wage, high-skilled jobs for our college graduates, but the blue-collar jobs that pay the wages that will allow individuals to take care of themselves and a family right here in this community.
Thank you. Okay, I think we've got an economic development question here, and we'll have that be directed to the mayor.
Good evening. Curtis Bain. Got a question on economic development. Either one of you can answer it. Why should the local taxpayers be involved in essentially venture capitalism? That's an issue for businesses, it seems like to me. We've got a lot of infrastructure in this community that has not been addressed, and it's not even on the next sales tax extension. And it's been totally disregarded so that we can produce whatever it is, $90 million for activities that are essentially business-related activities, and they shouldn't be the taxpayers' responsibility. How do you respond to that?
Okay, so what about that, Mr. Mayor?
Well, I excuse me. Curtis is well known to all of us at the local government level, and my response would be: I think all options have to be on the table. I think we have to be in the business of recruiting. I think we have to be in the business of growing what already exists, and I think we have to be in the business of innovation, which is where I think Innovation Park and our university environments play a really significant role. To the point that Commissioner Maddox made, which is, you know, we're a government town by and large. We're the state's capital. We are the seat of government, the only city. I mean, one of every two persons here has at least a bachelor's degree. We're a hugely knowledge-based economy. But what that also means is we're not a very dynamic economy. You know, if you drew a chart and a line, you'd pretty much see a straight line across related to wages and wage growth. And that can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. It's been a good thing in the sense that we've been not completely recession-proof, because there are businesses here who would argue otherwise. But compared to a lot of other places in this state and across this nation who experience the deepest depths of the recession, we fared better than a lot of others did. And that has to do with the fact that, you know, government tends to react and the indicators for a recession show up later here than it does in other places. We, you know, the legislature comes in, they cut some jobs, they cut the budget, and then we end up feeling the results of that. And so because of that non-dynamic economy, the role that local government has to play in economic development is probably more outsized here than it would be in a place that has thriving Fortune 500 companies and a huge private sector economy. Our land in this city, 50% of it is off the tax rolls. And if the citizens had to pay in ad valorem taxes what it costs to run this government, we don't collect enough in ad valorem taxes to pay for the police department in the city of Tallahassee alone. That's off of ad valorem. So I think we have to get outside of what are the normal territorial bounds of what's government's role and what it isn't. Our job has to be that we need a more dynamic economy. And I think what is key to creating that dynamic economy is tapping into FAMU, FSU, TCC, creating a portal that shows what are we graduating out of here. What talent are we producing, and then what jobs best correlate to that talent, and then go after it. And also investing in the intellectual capital that exists here that creates the new economy that I think Tallahassee deserves and is going to be absolutely necessary if we're going to thrive into the future.
Okay, I think we thank you. We have another question on economic development from the audience.
I appreciate y'all being here. Question regarding activity that stifles economic development from large companies like Comcast and Sprint. Sprint providing poor service consistently as the years go by. And then Comcast, do I have to say anything else about Comcast to illustrate the issue? They are barriers to what we're talking about. How would you address that?
Any takers?
I will jump in and I'll say something that maybe I shouldn't say out loud. I'm about to move and I won't get Comcast again. I think a lot of us are changing the way we utilize different types of services, and the online access is, I will say that for television. The online access is most critical, and it is absolutely something we need to think about it as a community. It is, I won't keep going back to Innovation Park the whole time, but I will say that Innovation Park has some of the highest speed internet access of the whole community. We haven't harnessed that, and we haven't thought a lot about how we can get better access to communications in all parts of our community. So I think this is essential for us in everything we're talking about, whether it's education, economic development, or anything like that. The access to be online, to other types of information, to other types of services is crucial. And if we have a family that doesn't have that access, then that's a real problem, and we need to look for different ways. A lot of this, however, and this gets, I think, to the at least what I read into your question, the other part, we have very old systems in this country, nationally and statewide, governing communications, and I mean the communications tax, if I'm not mistaken, statewide, I mean that's part of what, am I right, the PICO dollars used to come out of the communication tax, I'm looking around, so part of the reason why we don't have enough money for education facilities is because we had based it on a communication tax that doesn't work in the current structure for how all of us use communications. It doesn't work to have one company, in my opinion, being the sole proprietor in a community. The way we have it set up right now, the ownership of the wires under the ground, things like that, is based on how we've done these things and how businesses grew up with the technology over the years. I don't have a good solution for you. Maybe that's why, we're... but it is absolutely something we have to think about and will be changing, I believe, rapidly in the next years. The last thing I'll say, forgive me, Skip, is I often think we've got a little silver lining that we kind of stayed a small town longer than most. And now we're not a big small town, we're a small big city, right? But we can be smarter. We know we got more technology, we got more understanding about the relationship between development and economic development, for example. I think we can be smarter about this going forward. But it's not a real good answer, but it's a big issue. It's a good question.
Just to add to Commissioner Dozier, but there are people who are innovating around the challenges, and the challenges are many. We, at one point, the city attempted to launch a broadband over power line. Now, nobody would ever consider broadband over power line innovative right now, because technology has changed, drastically. But Claude is here, and we're all familiar with what Rick Kearney has done out at Summit East. You've got the national policy that President Obama put into place, which basically said, anytime public infrastructure that's federal is dug up, it's called dig once. It has to have fiber that goes into the ground as a way of transitioning this country into the next generation of communicating and telecommunicating. So there is a hostile regulatory environment at the state that came in and really put the smack down on us and said, look, for the your canopy that you have downtown. You cannot compete with the private sector. And in fact, if you do or attempt it, you must first give first right of refusal to the private sector to say whether or not they're going to expand or offer services. And it just has to exist in their long-term planning. I mean, and you can put anything in a long-term plan. And so it's a very difficult environment, but we do have folks, and I think Innovation Park will be key to this. Domi and whatever grows up in the Innovation District, if you will. I believe that's the term that's being used. Innovation District. There are some discrete areas by which I think we and investors can innovate, upgrade into fiber potentially, and become its own attractor. I mean, one of the places I visited after I got elected was Chattanooga, Tennessee. And they were fortunate there because their legislature allowed them to come in and become the one gig city. I think there's an opportunity for us to maneuver within the regulatory environment to create hot spots for that kind of economic development to take place, potentially.
Commissioner Lindley, I've got another question from the audience on economic development that I'm going to send to you. It says, if you stick a pin in Tallahassee, Leon on a map, look at the 100-mile radius, you can see we have a problem. Our location in rural, sparsely populated, poor North Florida is a special challenge. How can community leaders address this challenge as they seek economic development?
And this question is to me because...
because you're next.
I was next. You know, actually, I feel like I'm not answering the questions you're asking, but I will speak to a little bit of a project that Leon County
is a shocking
on.
New development for an elected official.
I just like to think that as a former journalist, I always thought
kidding.
Of a better
no,
question.
No, I'm kidding. Go right ahead.
Somebody ring the civility bell on that one.
Oh, there it is. I won't be invited back. I won't be able to come home. Go ahead. You answer anything you want on
no,
economic development now that I have been uncivil.
Okay, one of the things that Leon County has as a strategic initiative is something we're calling Leon Works, which is trying to develop a better system of getting young people into what I'm calling the artisan trades, the many, many jobs that are going wanting in this community. We're going to be working with the schools. We're working with a lot of the private businesses around here to try to develop opportunities for young people to go into businesses that don't necessarily require full college education. And that includes a lot of things. There are shortages in many areas badly needed. We are constantly in search of people for EMS. The world needs more our community needs more aviation mechanics. There is a vast shortage of truck drivers, and almost all of commerce travels in this country by truck. Welders, artistic welders who do work on, you know, beautiful fences for commercial buildings and so forth. There are such a wide array of jobs that are needed that our young people can get an education for in a relatively short amount of time, get into a solid career that will earn them a good living. And I think to some extent our rural areas, which tend to be poorer, there's often less access to college right away. And I think this is really a fabulous, I call it a bookend to our DOMI and entrepreneurship efforts, which are at another level of trying to build entrepreneurs. But people who get into these careers also can become owners of their own jobs. They can create, we used to call them the mom-and-pop businesses, the small business that is the plumbers or the folks who start their own trucking industry. So I think this is just fabulously exciting, and I'm really proud of our commission for putting our effort forth as kind of a catalyst to encourage this aspect of work and careers and jobs. So I think that will hit
Commissioner
that
Richardson.
Market.
I think, Skip, that our geographic location really is an asset mm-hmm. for us. It's not a liability. We are the geographic center of this region. And people from the rural areas come here to work, to shop, to recreate. And, you know, we've talked about regional economic development. In those rural areas, there's a lot of land. The taxes are lower. They're able to, their permitting processes in a lot of instances are much quicker than ours. And so they can attract businesses. And in a lot of instances, people who live in Tallahassee are the ones who work in those businesses that locate in those rural areas because, of course, they don't have the workforce that a lot of those industries are looking for. So I think it's an asset. I think the Capital Region Transportation Planning Agency is an example of that, if you will. We limit ourselves to looking at infrastructure in that agency, but I think if we did more regional planning, and I see Commissioner Barfield here somewhere in the audience, I think she would agree, and local governments and all of the rural areas, that if we talked more and planned better for regional economic development, it would be to all of our benefit.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I got two audience questions on economic development, then we're going to close that out. I got a couple random questions from the audience we'll work in, and then we're going to move on to crime and public safety. So we're going to start right back here.
Thank you. I think Commissioner Lindley already addressed this to some extent, but just wanted to say that a lot of the economic development effort, in fact, pretty much all of it that's been that the public is aware of, has been going towards increasing opportunities for middle class and the so-called creative class, things with like DOMI and that sort of thing. And that's all well and good, but there also needs to be a focus on the fairly large sector of the population that is having economic hard times and unskilled and semi-skilled workers. And I'm just wondering what can be done. Obviously, as I said, Commissioner Lindley kind of answered this, some of the things that have come up. But what can be done to increase the job opportunities and the pay scales for the below middle class folks in our community?
Go ahead. You ready?
I've just been itching to sort. Are you talking about today?
She answered the question. I mean, really, the answer that he's looking for points itself right to Leon Works, which is what Commissioner Lindley just addressed. So, I'll let you have that one, Commissioner Lindley, and I'll come in on the next question. I think Leon Works is tailor fit to address exactly what you're talking about. As far as the wages are concerned, that's a different issue. That's something that we have to get through. But as far as making more opportunities, creating those opportunities, and creating a place where people can come to find those opportunities, that's the exact point of the idea that Leon Works, that Commissioner Lindley brought to the table to the county. So I was going to let her answer that question.
Yeah, you want to add anything? I think that's right. Your answer covered that question pretty well. But feel free to add anything.
I just want
to
say one thing. I've been itching to dispute the venture capitalist role of government, because I think that's so not the case. But I think we do build the underpinnings, and I think the fact that this community pass the additional 1 cent sales tax, which is going to be the next 25 or 30 years worth of infrastructure, and that is a lot of work in the building trades and in the economic development. And I think that is going to provide a lot of stability for our workforce here already, and some in the blue collar trades, yes, as well as the professionals. So I think that was a great thing for our county voters to do.
Okay, right here in front.
My question for the commissioners is based on the suggestion that if you put a pin in a map in Tallahassee and we have nothing but rural area around us, and that's a bad thing. Well, I suggest that maybe it's a really good thing. Ask all those people who are from South Florida who move to Leon County every year, because we are different than South Florida. You look at the crime rate, you look at the transportation congestion. Miami spends $1 million a year on graffiti abatement. My question is to you, how can we emphasize the advantage of our rural nature in North Florida?
I think the question is quite simple. It goes back to what I said originally in us accepting who we are. That's who we are in Leon County. The trees are a trademark. I mean, it's simple as that. Why would we run away from that? That's what people think of when they come here, is the environmental nature and how sensitive we are to our environment. But I think we've added an edge of economic development to it. I don't think we'll ever be the town. We'll never be Miami. We'll never be a town that goes straight towards cutting down trees to put in roads. But I think we will be the town that goes towards redeveloping the infrastructure that we have in place to make it better fit for who we are. So you'll see more instead of wider roads, you'll see more sidewalks that fit perfectly with the rural nature that you're talking about. So you can walk those roads. You'll see the infrastructure being masked as parks like Cascades. That's really a stormwater facility management facility that we made into a world-class park. You'll see those types of things happening, because I think we're all comfortable. with the fact that we are rural in some nature, but we do have a lot to offer when it comes to economic development. So I think you make an excellent point. I when I first came in, it did confuse me a little bit, and it took me a little time to read and figure out and listen to some things that it's not a bad thing to be where we are and who we are. We're always a little bit behind the economic market when things go down, but then we're always a little bit behind when it goes up. But I think what we have here is a great opportunity to be the first city of Tallahassee and Leon County. Not try to be like Chattanooga or anywhere else in the world or, you know, Houston, Texas, anywhere like that, but to be the first city of Tallahassee and Leon County. And when we get to a place that we start thinking like that, then we can really progress to the levels that are acceptable and the levels that are the pinnacle of what we can become. So I think you make an excellent point.
Well, I'll take one exception, which is I don't want to advertise us as a sort of rural capital USA. I think we are growing up into a real world-class mid-sized city, and I don't think growing up is a bad thing, and I absolutely don't think you have to lose the essence of who you are simply because you have a more populated downtown and then a less populated maybe inner core, and then maybe a more rural and less dense outer core of the community. But I think the transitions that we are making right now, the fact that we have, when I first joined the commission, you had the city of Tallahassee, you had Leon County, but we didn't really refer to activity centers. We didn't have Midtown. There's always been a Midtown, but we didn't call it that. Gaines Street has always been there, but it used to be, you know, warehouses and pretty well abandoned. I mean, when I was in college, Nick tells this story all the time. I think we were in the club together, but, you know, that was the hangout area. And now we've got Cascade Park. We're in downtown. We're creating centers of attraction that illustrate a growing city, a growing community that hasn't lost the essence of who we are, but we absolutely aren't who we were yesterday. And I think we're striving toward a higher mark, and it's okay to do that. And we don't have to send off alarm bells simply because we're a growing and maturing community.
Okay, that's a great discussion on economic development. I hope y'all appreciate it and enjoy that. I did. I think there's a lot of good information there, and well done with answering frankly and, you know, pretty darn concisely. Yeah, you know, kind of. Relatively speaking. Okay, so I have two questions here for the government from the audience, two toss-up questions, and I'm going to start with this one. What is the local government's role in addressing the combined issues of economic and political inequality? Local government's role on the issues of economic and political inequality.
Well,
Commissioner Richardson.
I think, Skip, and for the audience, that local government can play a tremendous role in addressing that issue. And actually, that's one of the things that I ran on as a candidate for the city commission. I live on the south side of town. Almost 20 years ago, my wife and I made a commitment to build our home there and to raise our family in that part of the community. We've been active. We started our homeowners association and a crime watch program. We attend church there. We support the businesses. And so I think that the entire we have to work towards what I called a seamless community, where you go from one part of the community to the other, and you don't know that you've left one to go to the other. Right now, we can't say that. Local government can drive economic development. We've seen that in with Gaines Street, where we put the infrastructure in place, and then private industry was willing to come in and invest in construction and housing and commercial development. And so I think that's the role that we can play. We can incentivize economic development in areas through our community redevelopment agency, our CRA, and providing incentives for businesses to locate in those areas, our enterprise zones. So, yeah, I think local government can play a critical role in determining where economic development occurs. And in terms of political empowerment, then certainly our job is to go out and make sure that people are registered to vote and educate them about the importance of voting and how their vote determines what resources they get. And certainly as elected officials, we have a responsibility to do that.
Okay. Yes. Last word on this, the next question.
I would just like to point out the picture of political inequality up here. I mean, just a, you know, visual, because I think there is quite a bit of equality politically in our community. It has been for a long time.
Well, I'm happy to be representing the white guys up here.
I think you win the room, man.
I think that was quite civil.
Okay, so for this next question, I'd like our civility bell ringers to be standing on guard, okay? This is from the audience. This is not a plant or anything like that, so take it easy here. How do you see the Tallahassee Democrat developing as a member of the fourth estate in our state capitol?
I think it's great.
I'll be hiding behind the... right here.
I actually want to say this, and this is not because Skip is our moderator. I went to my first editorial review board meeting yesterday. Skip, you were there. Rebecca, Leslie, for Florida Association of Counties. We were talking about a few legislative issues. I've sat in a handful of these types of meetings, and I have never heard from an editor the same kind of questions and the commitment to covering state government as I heard from you yesterday. I actually mentioned that twice today. So I want to tell you, you're hiding behind a podium, but I want to tell you that just your tone gives me some optimism. So I'll put that out there first. But secondly, I think we as a community, we want to love the Tallahassee Democrat. We really, really, really want to love the Tallahassee Democrat. And it kind of amazes us, and those of us who have grown up here have seen it for a long time, where there might be better news on the Capitol from St. Pete or somewhere else. Or, you know, a news story about an issue that the city and county governments are working on is... it takes only that slight, that moment in time. And there's no historical... kind of accumulation of knowledge that goes into the story. I mean, I'm being really honest with you here. Here's my feedback, what I would have told you in lunch in a couple weeks. But I think the people in this room, they show up. We have a community that shows up to different kinds of events like this across the community. You want to be engaged. It's not just about the education level, but we are a passionate community. And we really want to love the Democrat and share that. So... good luck.
While I'm deleting my lunch with Commissioner Dozier in a couple of weeks, but no.
I'm satisfied.
No, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. Happy to move on unless some... okay.
Well, you know, I was going to just mention to you, Skip, that, you know, there was a time when the Tallahassee Democrat was referred to as the mullet wrapper. So the paper has come a long ways. And I think the Democrat, love it or hate it, serves an important function in this community. It has, in instances, kept government honest at all levels. It's brought about some transparency. Has it gotten under some people's skin? Of course. But a free and unfettered press. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When you get my age, you have those moments. A free and unfettered press is important to any community. And I think a lot of people do get their information from the Democrats, sometimes rightly or wrongly, but it is used as a source of information and is good for the community in that respect.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to crime. So I'm kind of getting up to speed on how crime, what the status of public safety is in this community. And obviously we've had some single events that have generated huge headlines and have been both stories of tragedy and heroism. And we've had some kind of dubious rankings in the past of, you know, being the most dangerous and second in the state in certain violent crime categories and numbers of shootings per week. And there's been a task force, I understand, that's recently been formed. So I guess I would ask for and Commissioner Maddox, I want to get you in here, a status report. Where do you see us on the issue of violent crime? In terms of this task force, I have to confess, is that a city or county or joint city thing? Okay, so I won't ask you about the task force. I'll save that for these two gentlemen. But what are your specific ideas? What do we need to be doing here? Where are we and what do we need to do?
I think the first thing I want to emphasize is just communication. Communication, better communication. If you look at some of the incidents that we read about in the paper, some of the things that we look at as the tragedies within our community, especially when it comes to the relations between law enforcement and the people that they attempt to detain and things of that nature, I think the level of communication isn't there where maybe it should be. I think being a police officer, being in law enforcement at any level is a hard job. It's a hard job, and there's going to be mistakes that's made. But I don't think that every time a mistake's made, we have to come down so hard on our officers. They should be disciplined, most definitely. Anytime somebody is wronged in the process of being detained or anything of that nature, that officer, that agency should be disciplined. But I just believe that moving forward, we have to be willing to look at the whole picture of things. I don't myself, just me personally, speaking from my heart, I don't believe that I'm ever in danger in the city of Tallahassee or Leon County. I feel like I can go any place within this city, within this county, and feel safe. And I think that's what all of you want to feel. But I think one thing that has to be said tonight, and I've tried to avoid saying, but I think one thing that has to be said tonight is that in order to feel that way, sometimes you have to put yourself in situations that you might not feel so comfortable and figure out that, hey, things aren't that bad. Curtis said he's lived in the South Side for 20 years. He made a conscious effort to do that. I said this last year and I'll say it again. How many people in this room have been to the South Side? Good. That's what you want to see. But I guarantee you that all the people who raised your hands, the majority of you don't feel unsafe there either. It's the people that are outside of this room who aren't engaged, the people who aren't here that don't feel safe. It's those people who don't understand both sides of the coin. And we need to get them to move themselves to where we are, so they understand the realm of the whole community and not just the silos in which they live in. Communities stop crime. Not people, not law enforcement. Communities stop crime. And when we start to look at it that way, and we start to have people from the north side of Tallahassee come to the south side of Tallahassee and get to know each other. And I know I'm dreaming. People tell me everything. That's not possible. People aren't there yet. But they should be. They should be. Would you kill a man? Would you harm a man that you know as a friend? Most people wouldn't. And so I would just make that plea to you. All the stuff I said before was just trying to be politically correct. To be honest with you, I think we need to get more engaged with each other. This whole thing of communication, police relations and all that kind of stuff. Talk to each other. As simple as that. I mean, I wasn't always the polished man I am today. At one point in my life, I would have walked past and you thought I was going to jack you, but I wasn't. I just looked that way. So I just want to make a plea that we put ourselves in uncomfortable situations and talk to each other and understand that crime is a community situation, not an individual.
Commissioner Richardson.
Yeah, I wanted to add, because I think one of the most basic functions of government is to ensure the safety and security of its citizens. And we have to do everything that we can to make sure that our community is safe. But even more importantly, public safety undergirds everything else that we do. Because if a company is Googling Tallahassee and considering bringing their business here and the employees that go along with that, and up pops Tallahassee is the second most dangerous city in the state of Florida, that's going to give that CEO pause. The same thing with a parent who's trying to decide where to send their child to school, or a visitor wanting to determine where they want to visit. So we've got to make sure that our community is safe in all of those regards, our entire community, because crime impacts every aspect of our community. Now, we have some hot spots. And what was interesting that has come out of the task force that you mentioned, Skip, that 71% of the perpetrators of violent crime in this community are African-American males between the ages of 18 and 25. 51% of the victims of those crimes, African-American males between the ages of 18 and 25. So we know that we've got an issue there that has to be addressed. But as Nick said, it has to be a community-wide effort. Our business community, our schools, all of us working together to address those issues wherever they occur in the city of Tallahassee, in Leon County.
Mr. Mayor, we got a couple questions from the audience, but I want to ask you about the task force. Have recommendations, have specific things come out of that yet, or is it still in the information gathering, and is that proceeding like
you believe it should?
There is still information gathering that's happening. There have been a set of recommendations that the city manager has received and is dealing with. But, you know, I think what probably troubles me the most on this whole crime issue is that there are a number of folks, probably too many in our community, that absolve themselves out of helping to solve the problem because it hasn't showed up yet on their doorstep. And the truth is that it is on all of our doorstep. I mean, it's been already articulated, the business impacts, the educational impacts, you know, the very way in which we see ourselves as a community. You know, Nick says he feels comfortable going into every part of the city, but I don't know if that's a majority opinion of the folks in our community. And so it gives us, you know, it gives us a sense of ourselves around whether or not we feel comfortable where we are, how much good things we say about the place we live, so on and so forth. We cannot care about solving crime and not care about whether or not a man or a woman has access to a job. Mm-hmm. We cannot care about solving crime if we don't care what the poverty rate in our community looks like and where that high poverty rate exists. We cannot care about crime if we're not following the health indicators that exist in certain areas, the education level, the undereducation of people in our community and who's impacted by that. And when you care enough to learn where those incidences and where the drivers are of that, the solution can't be broad and inclusive of everybody. It has to be narrow and specific to the populations that are most adversely affected by it. And that's not always popular because it's difficult. Oftentimes, those communities that are most adversely impacted are not the people who are showing up at the ballot box to vote. And so we're not incentivized to solve those problems and to speak to them directly. And until we get the political courage, I think, that is required to speak directly to what are the underlying, not the symptoms, but the basis of the problem, we're going to be having this conversation every single year because crime rates won't change until we get to some of those underlying issues.
That will have to be the last word for the recorded portion of our program tonight, recorded live at St. John's Episcopal Church in downtown Tallahassee. The Village Square is committed to civil and constructive public dialogue on the issues that matter to our community, our state, and our nation. Find the remainder of tonight's program online at tallahassee.tothevillagesquare.org. Thank you for joining us, and good night.
Join us again next time for another visit to the Village Square on WFSU-FM.